You're listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Media. For more, visit our website at MegiddoRadio.com. That's MegiddoRadio.com.
Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for Friday, the 10th of May, 2019. Thank you all for tuning in. On tonight's program, we're going to be talking about abortion and looking at a recent conference back and forth between CNN's Chris Cuomo and, I'm trying to remember, Christine Quinn, I think that's her name, and also Rick Santorum. And I think it was fairly educational, so, you know, from the point of view of what the actual views of the pro-life side are. Anybody who is in Northern Ireland, or even on the island of Ireland, there is an event going on tomorrow on May the 11th. So if you're listening to this, hopefully you find out about this beforehand, because I might not be able to make plans. But at 2 o'clock tomorrow, there is taking place in Belfast City Hall an evangelical pro-life witness. It's been organized by Let Them Live, which is a group, basically. I don't know how many people are involved exactly, but it's run by the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland, and it's a kind of group of people, especially involved with Paul Wright, who's the minister of Cookstown Reformed Presbyterian Church. So if you can, if you're anywhere near the Belfast area and you're free, please come and support that. I will try to be there. I hope to be there. I think I will be there. It just depends on how much other work I can get done before that. So, or at least just keep it in your prayers, and that we can be proactive about this, because I think often it's trying to be balanced and how to be biblical in how do we lovingly reach out and try and save people's lives, even though it might become the law of the land. Hopefully we can even change people's minds. Who knows? A person, a woman, may be contemplating doing this, and you never know. They might come across a Christian and decide not to abort their baby. A life is saved, and surely we should be doing that whichever way, as much as possible, okay? And also giving him the gospel. So, yeah, so keep that in your prayers. That rally is at 2 o'clock tomorrow at Belfast City Hall. And I don't know, I kind of came across this clip. I've seen it shared a lot on Twitter. Twitter becomes annoying. With a lot of stuff that become little snippets of like 30 seconds, and I was watching, it was, I don't know if it was recorded today or this morning or whatever it was, Ben Shapiro was on BBC Politics Live with Adrian Neal. Don't know a ton about him, if I'm being honest, but I talk about Adrian Neal now, and, you know, everybody was kind of going on about how maybe, well, Ben Shapiro, I think, probably, you know, even admitted himself he had an off day. But still, one of the things I want to point out is the utter bias of the media. I wouldn't go near. I would be very reluctant to go near Channel 4, BBC. I'm going to be looking at CNN in a second with similar things as well, especially the BBC. I've just seen nothing but hit pieces. Again, the piece on Ben Shapiro was a hit piece. You may say he didn't have the best day and all this, and I'll be like, okay. He could have handled it better, but the world keeps spinning. And, I mean, people make such a big deal. I mean, there's probably a few words that I wouldn't use as a Christian, but apart from that, in terms of, okay, got him annoyed at the end, I mean, I can sympathize with him, but I mean, unfortunately, that is the media. The media is there to ask questions about something you said back in 2012 in a tweet that you can barely remember. And what is really achieved by, you know, if you actually look at the numbers that former mainstream media gets anymore, you'd wonder. I mean, and I don't have a TV, and I purposely don't want to have to pay a TV license. And I mean, we're doing it legally, by the way. I rang up the number about the TV license. I don't know if you have that. I know there's listeners from the United States and other countries. I don't know if you all have TV licenses in the Republic of Ireland, where I'm originally from, and in the UK, where I'm living now. We have TV licenses, and I won't pay that, but, well, if I had to by law, I would. You know, you kind of render unto Caesar things that are Caesar's, but we didn't get a TV, and you just have to not use the streaming service. So, you know, just make sure I'm not watching any live football or anything like that. So, you know, because I don't want to support the BBC and what they do. And it's amazing that, I don't know, I've never seen much of this guy who's interviewing Ben Shapiro. I think everybody's known about it. It's kind of trending on Twitter and everything else like that. The fact that he was making it out to seem barbaric and going back to the Dark Ages, the whole thing about the abortion bill was in Georgia, the 6 weeks, and the heartbeat bill. Don't know what's on about it, if I'm being honest, but it's great that it's going in that direction. It's great that it's going in that direction, and different states are taking those positions and defending the life of the unborn child. It is a child, it is a human being. It has been created in God's image, and where possible, we should protect life where it is within our hands to do so. We should do everything lawful that we can do. We need to change. We should try to change the law of the land. I mean, there's been some great things done by Apologia. Is that how you pronounce it? They say Apologia or Apologia. Whatever. Apologia. Church in, isn't it, Arizona? It's in Phoenix, Arizona, or is it in Tempe, Arizona? I think it's Phoenix, Arizona. Apologies if I'm wrong. Anyway, they go before the city council constantly, and it's great. I mean, okay, the clickbait titles aside, I mean, it's great that they're doing it. Okay. I don't exactly, they have, yeah, anyway, but it's wonderful that they're going out and doing that and putting pressure on legislators and making sure that they can't just ignore the issue. And we got to be balanced as well. This is not a critique of Apologia or anything like that. But trying to be balanced, that it, because you can get so obsessed with one issue. Of course, it's important. It's God's law. We should defend, you know, basically the voice of the voiceless. They don't have a voice. We should stand up for those people who are children who are being slaughtered. Now, but the only thing is, we should make sure when we're making a stand on anything that it is not at the expense of the gospel. And I mean, sometimes it might not be as much of an issue in some parts of the United States or some parts even UK. In Northern Ireland, some places are a lot more Protestant than others, and you see, it's pretty amazing actually up here. It's really unique up here. You just see lots of different Protestant churches. I think in the area I live, there's about, I think, 10 or 11 different churches from different denominations and stuff. I don't know how theologically sound they all are, but they're there, and I digress. So we should, without compromising the gospel, because especially down in the Republic of Ireland where I'm from, I used to live in Dublin, originally from Cork in the south, a lot of people can kind of get involved in a kind of an ecumenical movement. Richard John Newhouse and, was it G.I. Packer was one of the other editors? No, Chuck Colson. Evangelicals and Catholics together back in 1994, that whole compromise of the gospel, which involved J.I. Packer, sadly, and people conveniently forget that, and I see it as treason, what happened with that document. But you know, they basically say, well, we agree in the gospel. It's by grace alone. No, well, they didn't say alone, actually. They took a loan out. It's by grace through faith in Christ. Okay? I probably dealt with that before in the program. If I haven't, shoot me an email and we should just do a program on that. Maybe just do a program on the influence of J.I. Packer. But in the introduction to that book, they put out a book. It was in 1994, 1995, anyway, mid-90s. And in the introduction to that, I can't remember, was it Richard Don Newhouse wrote, or maybe it was joint. It was Richard Don Newhouse and Chuck Colson were the editors. And they basically said a lot of the way that a lot of this, ecumenism or whatever you want to call it, one of the ways that they came together was through the abortion movement. You know, they had a common goal, which is to end abortion. Roman Catholics, on this issue, isolated by itself, would probably put us to shame at times. If you just take this issue by itself. You know, we went down to a pro-life rally. What was it? In Dublin. Yeah. And there were a lot of Roman Catholic. Now, there tends to be a lot more Roman Catholic representation. But by the way, it wasn't just Roman Catholic. I mean, it's just kind of how much Ireland has changed. And if this is the first time you've ever listened to me, Roman Catholicism is not a Christian church. And if you want more information on that, just Roman Catholicism, type in to megiddoradio.com. It teaches a false gospel. It has departed from the truth. It once was a true church many centuries ago, but has anathematized the gospel and salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, at least since the 16th century. Some people date it back even earlier. Whatever the case, not a true church. But individual Roman Catholics, on this issue, just isolate this issue by itself, are doing a lot to save people's lives. Why shouldn't we evangelicals be involved in this? Why should we just... Because sometimes we can be afraid getting involved in things that are beyond, say, the gospel. You got to be careful when you do that. Obviously, things can take over. And the primary outreach that we have is with the gospel. But also we should, I mean, it's a contradiction of our profession of faith in Jesus Christ that we, you know, we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves, you know, the second table of the law, that we ignore this. We can't ignore it. Not everybody should do the same thing. No. Not everybody is able to do the work that Let Them Live is doing, or that's the organization in Northern Ireland. Well, I suppose the whole island of Ireland, really. And other organizations do, okay? Not everybody's called, you could say, to do that. But some people have gifts and skills, and God has equipped them in those areas. And use your talents. Let your light so shine before men. Don't waste away. No, but having said all that, before we get into it now, be involved in the Great Commission. Be involved in evangelizing. Be involved in making disciples of all nations. And notice how it says at the end of Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Basically, they're being baptized as in added to the church. So that has to be central, but it doesn't say you don't look out for and try and save the lives. Various different means, legal means, praying about it, and not compromising the gospel. I just felt needed to give that a little bit of an introduction before we start. This, if you want to watch this YouTube video, its panel gets heated over state abortion laws and Roe v. Wade protections. Nope. I seem to do this every single time. All right. There we go.
I want to leave these heartbeat bills behind. Christine, what's the concern with what just passed in Georgia and what you may wind up seeing more of? A state passing through its legislature a more restrictive right to reproductive rights such as abortion. This is a six-week bill.
These so-called heartbeat bills are exactly what you said, six-week bills. They, for all intent and purposes, are an end run around Roe versus Wade and a clear attempt to make abortion illegal in across the country.
Great. And it's amazing, like, say heartbeat bills, and they're meeting 6 weeks. Myself and my wife, we went for an early ultrasound. I think it was about maybe 7-8 weeks into the pregnancy of our twins. And, well, we didn't know there were twins at the time, but we discovered during that that ultrasound and two strong heartbeats. And you'll get people who will, they just deny that. And even just starting off with this, you're in favor of stopping a heart, a human life.
That's what they are. And we've seen in states where they've been passed.
Sorry, just to mention, this is Christine Quinn, board member of the National Institute for Reproductive Health.
Already, courts strike them out or enjoin them. This is a clear attempt to take decisions about a woman's body and birth out of the hands of a woman and out of the hands of doctors. And that, to me, is really shocking.
Look.
A lot of times it goes around circles. It's a woman's body. It's not. It's scientifically not your body. It's different DNA to the mother. It is a unique human being from conception. And at what point, see, they always have this thing of, they can never define, when does life begin? When does that person have right? And actually, to be honest, it's gotten to the point where, because they can't really answer that, it becomes, well, as soon as the child is born, then they might have rights. And I say might because there are a number of ones in the left in the United States. I don't know how much in Ireland, I suspect some might be even on this position, that the decision on the life of that child can be even made possibly after birth. And this isn't some, the Virginia governor in the United States, we'll probably play it a bit later, not defending not just third trimester abortion, but also infanticide. So, it's amazing, but let's continue.
I mean, you don't have to like abortion. You can be dead set against it, Rick. I mean, we're all coming from the same set of catechism on this particular panel tonight. But if you don't like Roe, that's one thing. But for a state to codify something that they know violates the federal standard, what do you make of that?
I mean, this whole attitude of, well, you don't have to like abortion. Well, what if you just said, well, I don't like pedophilia, but the state was okay and it didn't have a law against that? Would that be a good argument? See, does the state define morality? Now, Rick Santorum is on the program here with CNN's Chris Cuomo. He kind of makes an argument that it's from the collective morality of the people. I completely disagree with that. It seems to be kind of a, I don't want to say it's not just an American argument, but you'd see it being made a lot over there. And I think the word morality is probably not too popular in these islands. But what is our final authority? What is the standard of truth? It has to be God's word and the fact that we've been created in God's image. And that is why there is the death penalty against murderers, because we've been created in God's image. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. And this judicial penalty has been given to all the nations. Genesis 9:6 says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. That's why. That is why there is the death penalty for murder. It's not to say that there might not be murder for other things, you know, and based upon general principles and things like that, but definitely a nation should have a penalty of to attack. It's kind of like this. To attack and to kill God's image bearer is basically to kind of attack God.
Well, I mean, everybody that passes a marijuana law violates the federal standard when they pass a recreational marijuana law, and they do it. And sanctuary cities, they pass laws that violate it, and the court determines whether they have the right to do it or not. Look,
and I mean, I suppose people in the United States have been more aware of this issue. Is like, you know, the whole thing about courts being allowed to determine laws, but there should be an underlying rules and things that you could say don't change. And in the United States, it's like the Bill of Rights. And but is it enough? You need... Look, Romans 13 tells us that those who serve in government are ministers of God. We are to serve God. Finish this sentence. We are to serve God sometimes, only at home, only in church, or all the time. We whatsoever we eat or drink. Even the most mundane things, it's to be all to the glory of God. So if you're a Christian, you can't just be a Christian in your church. You can't just be a Christian at home. You're a Christian everywhere. You are a Christian. You are to serve God. And to do something contrary to law, first and second table, by the way, Commandments 1 through to 10, that's the summarization of the moral law, is applicable everywhere. When is it not to be?
The legislatures, as well as the Congress, have the right to challenge the court, and if the court composition changes, as it has over time on a variety of issues, they have the right to go and challenge that. I just have to make a point, Chris, because you and Christine both made the point, you in your introductory and Christine, where you basically invalidate the point of view that me and millions of other Americans have with respect to this issue, which...
I think Rick Santorum did really well, and I don't want to be picking on him, but... And I know why there's a certain validity to this argument. I wouldn't make this argument. I mean, if you were the only person making this argument, there's only one person in the world who believed abortion was wrong. It still wouldn't. If everybody was in agreement that it's okay to kill your child, it doesn't make it right. So the popularity of a view, at least secondary, if not completely irrelevant. The issue is that a human being? Is that a human being? And not only just a human being. It's not just some product of evolution. You were just another animal among other animals. Is it created in God's image? Is that baby in God's image? And if it's been created in God's image, it is wrong to kill that boy, or little boy, or little girl. By virtue of that. Because when you get people, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of different people you'll see that are against killing of animals, and I don't think you should get your jollies killing animals or anything like that. I think we need to be balanced about it. There is a certain value to animal life even, but it's not on the same par or even close to human life. Okay. I don't know how I feel about sports and stuff like that. If it's just for killing animals for jollies, I would, I'd be concerned about that. For food, great. Encourage it. Go for it. If you're using it for a certain purpose, but if it's just for fun, sorry, but you know, there's a certain, and people say, well, there's no value in human life. If you said there's no value in human life, that means there was no value in the Old Testament sacrificial system. There was a certain tragedy, you could say, in the slaughtering of the lamb. If there wasn't, you're saying it has no significance whatsoever. Okay? Now, is the life of a lamb in any way comparable or close to the life of a human? No, of course not. But there is a certain value. So you don't want to kind of go from one extreme to the other and kind of go, well, the leftists are against this, therefore we're going to go to the opposite side. We have to kind of think about things biblically and in a balanced way. I think sometimes on the conservative side, it can be, well, we're going to show how not liberal we are by who's got the biggest gun and who's got the biggest trophy and all this kind of stuff. Again, I'm not against hunting. I'd love to get into it. Go for it. Just make sure it's for you bring it home and you kill it and you eat it. Okay, but just doing it for just simply killing, that's why I think there's an issue there. I think there's a problem there. Okay, so, but what I'm saying is a lot of the times people will think that it's wrong to kill an animal, okay? And sometimes there's other reasons besides food. Sometimes it'll be, there's too many of a certain number of animals. Fine, that's not prohibited either. Okay, and it has to be some purpose to it. It can't just be, you get your jollies from it. But some people will say, okay, it's wrong to kill an animal. But it's, they'll put it on the same level. The killing an animal is murder. But these people sometimes will be okay about killing a human being in the womb. They've actually elevated animals above humans. And it's a product of evolution. Or kind of denying of the creator. Suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, Romans 1:18. So that you have the knowledge clearly revealed from creation, natural revelation, the heavens declare the glory of God. You can see these things clearly. You may suppress these things. While they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. And you want to make sure that we're not being reactionary to these things. That human life is valued, but we're not doing the thing that is done on Twitter and the internet and all this kind of stuff, which is basically trying to antagonize and annoy the other side to show how free you are and how okay it is to do certain things. Let's continue.
Just say this is all about choice, all about a woman's right. No. It's all about the life of a little baby. And you can invalidate that and say that that doesn't matter. But to millions of Americans, it does matter. And it's not that we hate women or want to violate women, but we truly do care about the life of that child in the womb. And we think a good society protects those.
Do you care about the rule of...
Hold
on a second, Christine, hold on a second. I'll get to you. But what rules in this society, Rick? How you feel with your faith or the rule of law? What
rules?
Yeah,
but the rule of law is determined, should be determined, in my opinion, in this area.
But we have a higher law. If you're a Christian, you have a higher law than that of the state. And if there's a contradiction between the law of God and the law of the state, if you're a magistrate and you allow the killing of the unborn, you're going contrary to God's law. You're going, the Supreme Court, the supreme law of the land is not Supreme Courts or anything else like that. It is the word of God, which is the law for every single nation on earth and for every single person. We need to obey it. We'll be held accountable to that. And on the final day, will you be in Adam or will you be in Christ? Will you be presenting, coming in your own name, or will you be represented by Jesus Christ the righteous? Will he be your advocate before God the Father, who has satisfied the law and justice on your behalf, who has drank down the wrath of God in your place? Is that true for you?
By the collective morality of the people of this country.
Really?
That's what legislatures are trying to do. Absolutely.
So the Supreme Court passing
Nine people shouldn't make that decision.
Really? But they have.
So you don't believe. So you don't believe in the Supreme Court. You don't believe it's the Supreme Law of the land.
No, I just don't believe that they should be injecting themselves into a matter that is something that the public can handle and handle very well.
Really?
And did
then who gives
Roe
these state legislatures?
Yeah, when people are killing themselves in back alleys before Roe v. Wade?
People are dying now too, Chris.
And I hear these arguments. Oh, well, people were dying in back alleys and all. Obviously, tragic. But there was a desperation to what? Kill their baby. What is it a sign of? Sin is the issue. Rebellion against God is the issue. Allowing and giving free access to murder, how is that a way forward and a solution?
The reality is millions of children are dying, Christine. That's the reality.
Because you define
million children.
Good on him that he stated that fact. What is it? Something like 60 million children have been murdered since Roe v. Wade in the United States. I don't know what it is in, like, praise God where I'm living right now in Northern Ireland. Abortion is fairly illegal. There's very, very tight restrictions on it. Shouldn't be allowed at all, but anyway. But in the Republic of Ireland, there is up to 12 weeks. And I think in certain other circumstances, according to one source, Maeve O'Hanlon, who was a pro-life campaign spokesperson, she states, and factoring in the number of abortion pills previously bought online, this is in the Republic of Ireland, this is referring to now, factoring in the number of abortion pills previously bought online and the drop in the number of Irish women traveling to England for abortions, 800 to 900 abortions per month would still represent an almost trebling of Ireland's abortion rate of over 11,000 abortions in 1 year. That's in a very small country like ours, and I think there's like 9 centres where the Republic of Ireland provide provide abortion. They kill children. So there's 9 hospitals, which Hippocratic Oath and all that, this swearing to protect life, are killing babies. And at least according to, I just read something before the program on a BBC article, Northern Ireland, it said that they were, and I've seen in other sources as well, that it was free of charge. Free of charge. I.e., the state, i.e., the taxpayer, pays for the killing of children. Isn't that wonderful? That's what women's rights are today. Oh, the dangers of feminism. Oh, the dangers of the breaking down of the family. It never... If you're going to look at all the commonality between the LGBT and the abortion and all this kind of stuff, what is it? The one commonality, rebellion against the Creator. Rebellion against God.
If you really cared about the health of human beings, you would never take an issue like this away from a woman and her doctor. And a six-week bill makes it illegal.
Children.
And this bill have been clearly struck down by the courts. Abortion is the law of the land. And we're
trying to change that.
And you're doing an end run around the Constitution.
Yes, we are.
Around
the Supreme Court. They're not the same thing.
The Supreme Court set the law on this. And again, talk about caring about human beings' lives.
Yeah,
then why would you take away a woman's ability with her doctor to make decisions when her life...
60 million decisions later. Now, I bring up the United States because it's a big sampling of what happens when you legalize such a monstrosity like this. I mean, the whole idea, I mean, some of the arguments you hear as well that, you know, if you allow abortion to be safe and legal and all that, they'll decrease it. I mean, if you said to somebody allowing or legalizing or dropping the age of consent or something like that and legalizing pedophilia or something like that, would that drop the rates of that? No, you just redefined it. You know, countries where they say, oh, look, we've got rid of the laws and we've made everything so liberal. I think places like Holland kind of fall under this category. And they say, well, you know, the law, oh, crimes have really dropped. Well, yeah, if you make everything legal, yeah, that will happen. If you make prostitution legal, you'd have to kind of wonder what you'd have to do to break the law. Well, unless it's some kind of a PC crime or something like that. It seems that, you know, places like Holland, places that used to be Christian, not too long ago, places like, you know, the United Kingdom. The things you get in trouble for now are preaching the Bible. That's what will get you in trouble.
Be at risk. You take it away because you actually do not care about women. You take it away politically.
Do you realize a baby dies in an abortion? Do you realize that? Are you ignoring that fact? That's a reality.
It is not a legal fact.
Do you disagree that at the moment of conception, that child is human and alive?
It's a viable human being.
Again, I really liked how Rick Santorum, and you know what? It's not easy. If anybody does get an opportunity before the media, I don't know if I would. I'm not saying never say never, but because of the way that certain media organizations selectively edit, I don't think I'd do an interview because they know what they do, and they've done it to many, many people. They've chopped it up into pieces and selectively edited and deceptively edited. I'm not just saying BBC, but this has been seen. It's an old kind of tactic. Get somebody in, interview them, and all this kind of stuff. Maybe if it was live, unedited, with certain caveats, maybe in certain situations. But you know what? Nowadays, you can often reach far more people through YouTube, depending on the program.
Not recognized under our law as a person under the law.
The question.
And I like how Rick Santorum, he got right to the issue. A human life is being killed here. Now, Rick Santorum I think I talked about Rick Santorum years ago last time, and I think it was a Christian church. I don't want to, in case I'm wrong with the reference to the Christian church, but a church got him over to speak. And it wasn't that they thought he was a Christian or anything, but it was political, and he was going for the presidential. He was in running for the presidency, or, you know, to be one of he was running for the Republican nominee. Was that 2012 and was it 2008? Anyway, he was a number of years ago, and he. He was speaking of that, and I was kind of bringing up the point that should we be standing over a person like that? Yes, good in some moral issues, and what I'm pointing out here, he's pretty good in this interview. But is he a Christian? He's not a Christian. He's a Roman Catholic. Unless it's changed, he's part of Opus Dei, which are very strict in their observance of, unless it's changed or something, but from what I remember, Opus Dei. And it's kind of funny, it's like Chris Cuomo later in the program says, Google it. So that's kind of what I'm doing. I mean, yeah, he is, yeah, back in 2012, The Atlantic, NPR, Washington Post. It became a big issue back then because, you know, the Atlantic is leftist, I think, isn't it? Yeah. And one of the things that they said was, because it was a big issue for them, is like, how strange is this group? And all I really know about it is they're really, really strict about, to be stricter than your average Roman Catholic, that's for sure. Rick Santorum sent two of his sons to Washington, D.C., all bodies affiliated with Opus Dei, the Catholic group whose members are portrayed as sinister, weird, and the sensationalistic Da Vinci Code. Anyway, you know, so it was all about the election. Rest of the time, nobody cares. And it's only when Democrats are trying to get elected that things like this ever come up. Let's go back to the interview.
You know what the answer is. Biologically a human life?
No.
You know what the answer is.
I do. It's in every biological test work in the world. At conception, that is a human life.
You talk about being the party of science. Listen, hold on.
This is so anti-science.
There is no question.
That is not reality,
guys. Hold on. Let me just set the table.
It is true.
Hold on.
No, it's not.
Calm down.
It's not a belief. Just calm down.
The only thing that can be created by two human beings is a human being. Period. The law recognizes a person with rights at a certain standard.
That's an amazing thing. Chris Cuomo is saying the law recognizes people at a certain standard. Could you imagine saying that about, you know, Nazi Germany says, well, you know, Jews aren't, they don't have rights and standards. Well, not in the eyes of the law, they're not people. The law of the land, the state can determine who is and who isn't created in God's image. And you can absolutely compare it to previous examples of certain forms of slavery. And what happened to the Jews, not just in the Second World War, by the way, but also throughout the Middle Ages, that they were basically treated as subhuman. And what is happening to babies in the womb? Sadly, the same.
Treating the two.
So, okay,
you're doing
so, Chris,
it for convenience. But either you respect the law or you don't.
Okay, before that thing is a person, what is it?
What do you mean, what is it?
What's that thing?
There are all
the
these different stages of
it?
Cellular development.
But what is it?
Go Google it.
So
what I'm saying
property.
Is.
Oh, yeah, I shouldn't have been laughing, but it's like, go Google it. Everybody deep down knows this is a human life. Now, there is value. There is, like, there's Christian ministries in different parts of the world who will give ultrasounds. I remember, I think I was listening to Jenna Mefford's program one time, and they had some ad on during the break where they were talking about some ministry gave women are thinking about abortions, ultrasounds, and most of them changed their mind. I think it was a 4 out of 5 or something like that. That's the conscience. And it's harder to suppress that reality and that truth when you see a beating heart before you. A lot harder. Because you see it's a human life. And it is amazing with the technology that we have today. It just shows the hardness of people's hearts. It's amazing with the technology that we have today that this is even a question anymore. We always knew as Christians that we're created in God's image. But now, because of the scientific development of what we know more about in the womb and all this kind of stuff, it makes it even more reprehensible for the quote-unquote pro-choice side.
Either I accept the law or you don't.
Rick,
I'm okay with that.
So I'm just asking, Chris, is it the property of the woman at that point? It's not a person. It's the property of a woman.
Her body is always her property.
Okay, so but that's a unique human being inside that woman.
No,
so is that woman, is that the property?
You can make the same argument. Could you imagine say, well, it's your property. Well, could you imagine if you say, well, this my slave outside is my property, and if I want to kill that slave, well, you can make exactly the same argument. Why not? And you say, oh, no, you can't. You're saying it's your property, and people say if you believe in that slavery is okay, and you have a slave outside and you feel like you'd like to kill that slave, you can make the same argument. They're two unique people, and the argument of property, or it's a private property, or a private property argument is being made here. Well, what stops you doing that? And Rick Santorum will bring up other examples of where that logic can take you if you take it to its logical conclusion.
Rick.
So you can do whatever you want
Rick,
with it?
It is
so
hard.
Let me ask you this
Rick,
question,
can you
Christine.
Stop
you
for
question.
1 second? No, because
so,
you're not
Christine,
Chris Cuomo.
If,
you don't get to ask the question.
If the woman who was carrying that child, because let's say she was blind, and she decided she wanted to have a blind baby too, so she could inject that baby with something that would blind the child.
Rick,
not kill it, just blind it.
Rick,
would that be okay?
Rick,
would
you are
say
bringing
okay?
up.
Look,
you
I'm going to go to Christine
up.
On the point, but I'll tell you what's not okay. I think perverting fact patterns, perverting realities, and trying to demonize what people do, you guys make it sound like this is cheaper than condoms. This is easier than condoms.
Right.
So just go abort your babies. These are painful decisions for these women.
True. These are painful decisions for these people because of the conscience. But would you use that argument? And look, if somebody is remorseful and has done it, and repents, and there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, okay, for that murder of that unborn child, but at the same time, it doesn't change the fact that it's murder. Would we say, because, say you get somebody who kills an adult or kills their own child, and they'll say, well, that was a difficult decision to make, would that make it okay? Would it make it okay? So these emotional, it's not easy kind of argument doesn't help the case at all. Actually, it does scream against your position. It screams against this position that says that the pro-choice movement or pro-choice is okay, that it is okay to kill your child. It is okay to kill a defenseless human being. It is one of the most egregious crimes imaginable. And we need to not forget that.
They live with it for the rest of their lives.
Chris.
Yeah, I know, and they think about it. And they think about it in a way that you never will, Rick. So you're projecting all these emotions and sensibilities on ethics on people.
Oh, the old you're not a woman argument. Here we go.
Well,
and
Rick, you'll never make.
And Rick, let me just say, Rick, let me just say.
Help and support. It's not in your body. Christine, last word.
Yeah, you can have an opinion, but they don't want to listen to anybody on the pro-life side, even the women. How about Abby Johnson, who worked in Planned Parenthood, and now exposes the crimes that take place in Planned Parenthood abortion clinics? It is astonishing.
Yeah. Let's be clear here, Rick. With all of your distortions and horrible tales, I answered it numerous times. When a woman gets pregnant, that is not a human being inside of her. It's part of her body. And this-
you hear that? It's not a human being. And what was the rationale for the treatment, again, of Jews and slaves in history, or of any different groups, or the slaughters, genocides that took place in the mid-1990s in Rwanda, and countries like that. Why were they able to do it? Because they were able to say, well, these are subhuman, these are vermin, or whatever else it is, this is something that, this is an undesirable that has to be gotten rid of. Yeah, sad reality, but this is the way, this is how it's possible to kill a subsection or a group of people and not care. Because you have to tell yourself it is not a human being so that the horror and the guilt isn't as much, isn't as strong. And you'll find with a lot of people who are on this side have had abortions themselves. And they're trying to soothe their own conscience, sadly.
is about a woman having full agency and control of her body and making decisions about her body and what is part of her body with medical professionals. Those are the facts, and that is the law of the land.
Listen, and they can do whatever they want to that.
This is about a woman's body.
Listen, you can
argue. They can do whatever they want. They can torture the baby.
The debate is fine.
You're so desperate here. You're so desperate here.
No, no, no. Listen,
I'm bringing up fake.
I mean, what would happen if you went to a doctor and you said to the doctor, I want to, you know, say, was my body my choice? I want to cut off my arm. What would the doctor say to you? Especially if you've got, like, kind of state healthcare like you have here, would you think, oh, well, the state, well, the taxpayer's got to pay for this person to get their arm removed, even though it'll, oh, I don't know. Or, you know, you say, well, it's my heart, my choice. I want you to rip out my heart and kill me. Would you be able to do that? Yeah, that would be kind of against the ethical code of what they've been trained to do. But little babies are no longer little babies. I mean, not too long ago, I remember a friend of mine shared this, was it about a month, or I don't know, it was about a year ago, whenever it was. Back in the mid-1990s, whenever it was, there was a tragic, famous, infamous bombing in Northern Ireland called the Omagh bombing. And one of the ones that was listed as victim was, it was a pregnant woman. And the baby was listed as a victim. Many parts of the world, they'll have, you know, if you kill a woman with a child, it's a double homicide.
Just asking questions.
No, you're not. You're asking provocative things that are trying to make people angry about what's done, and that's okay. All I'm saying is, you guys go too far when you pervert the facts. We have the President of the United States saying that a baby is born at the end of full term, swaddled in a blanket, and then to decide whether or not to execute it.
That's,
you know, that's
law.
BS. It divides people. Nobody said it. It's not the law
Governor
anywhere
Virginia
in this country.
It.
It's homicide. One person said something stupid.
So somebody actually did say it. Nobody said it. Oh, some people.
You want to make it something that you can use for advantage. That doesn't help your cause.
Talk to the survivors of abortion.
And it's certainly,
how about Kermit Gosnell?
It's certainly not square with your religion.
Lots of instances.
I'll tell you that. Go ask a priest if he's okay with you arguing the case that way. And see how he feels about it.
I'd be happy to.
If you get to the right place by
lying
and distorting the.
Yeah, just, you know, kind of, yeah. Let's play just the Virginia governor. This is back early. Was it late January, early February, something like that? And this is the governor of Virginia who managed to survive in office. The controversy wasn't over this, but it was over the fact that he had some racist picture from his past. That's, well, I'll get you into trouble. Not the fact that you're, by the way, the racist picture was bad as well, but was it kind of a black face and the other guy was wearing a KKK outfit, something horrendous like that. But the fact that you're okay with, well, we'll just let him speak in his own words. This is the governor of Virginia.
The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mothers.
Now, Senator Sack.
And then a discussion if that's.
Okay, I'm going to play it one more time in case you missed that. This is Governor Ralph Northam, who I believe is still the governor of Virginia.
Here's what Virginia's governor did say.
The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated.
So the infant would be delivered, resuscitated, and?
That's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mothers.
Now, Senator Sack.
A discussion would ensue over what? He was asked about abortion. In the next clip, we're going to play a bill. Kathy Tran presents Virginia third trimester bill in committee. And this is under questioning from a House subcommittee. Tran said third trimester abortions would face substantially fewer restrictions. Let's listen to this from Kathy Tran in the state of Virginia.
Remove the following statutes: trap or targeted regulations of abortion providers, removing language classifying facilities that perform five or more first trimester abortions per month as hospitals. It would repeal Virginia's informed consent mandatory ultrasound and 24-hour delay. It would repeal the requirement that second trimester abortions be performed in a hospital licensed by the State Department of Health. It would repeal the requirement for two additional physicians in cases of third trimester abortions.
Delegate Tran.
Yes, sir.
How late in a pregnancy would your bill apply if a physician was simply willing to certify that the continuation of the pregnancy would impair the mental health of the woman? How late are we talking about?
The suggestion that we've made in the bill is to say it's in the third trimester and at the, you know, with the certification of the physician. So
how late in the third trimester would you be able to do that?
You know, it's very unfortunate that our physicians, witnesses, were not able to attend today to speak specifically.
No, I'm talking about your bill. How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
Or physical health.
Okay. I'm talking about the mental health.
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay. But to the end of the third trimester.
Yep. I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
So, where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth. Would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman.
I understand
that.
I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that. Yes.
There you go. You can play other ones as well, and you know, different media organizations saying, oh, that doesn't happen. Oh, well, it does. One stupid person said, well, there's more than one stupid person, according to Chris Cuomo, who was saying this. And there was an effort by, was it Senator Ben Sasse, to introduce a bill? A lot has happened in the last couple of months. So, but anyway, Ben Sasse was trying to introduce a bill that would ban infanticide. Just say if a child is born alive, they would be protected. And it got voted down by, guess who? Well, the Democrats. So that's the left, and they're not in favor. They don't care about children, and, you know, the whole argument is of, well, they just say the other side, well, they don't care about them after they're born, because the other side doesn't want a ton of government programs and all this kind of stuff. So if you're against socialism, therefore you hate children and all this. Wonderful accusations that have been thrown around there. Anyway, let's finish up the end. Going back again to the CNN discussion between Christine Quinn, Rick Santorum, and CNN's Chris Cuomo.
No priest is going to lie.
What did I lie about in the way I presented
you? Tell me
my
what
case.
State allows you to swaddle a full-term baby and then have a side conversation about whether or not to kill it?
State of New York allows a baby to be killed.
Yep. The state of New York has something like this as well, and they were celebrating about it. And yeah.
allows the baby to be killed
up until the moment baby that to be born
is allowed. Up until the executed. Moment that baby is born.
Say
that's
none.
That's the reality.
That's crap.
Chris,
look,
I was part of
the law says.
I was part of passing that law in New York with the National Institute of Reproductive Health. It does not say it that, but that is a lie the far right has
Rick, you're better than this.
Since it was passed.
You're better than this as a Catholic, and you're better than this as a consumer of public law.
It's not a lie. Because,
it is a lie. I helped pass the law.
I got to go. I got to go. We'll do this again because there are going to be plenty more of these. But come on, Rick, give me a break on this stuff.
I am. I'm telling the truth.
You're lying.
You're telling the truth the way you see it, but you're distorting fact to get there. So I don't know how that's the truth. I respect everybody's opinion on it.
I hate when people say that. Just, you know, you don't. And I don't respect other, you know, people's opinion. I mean, this whole thing of respecting different people's opinion. Could you imagine people sitting around and saying, you know, the Holocaust... morally good or bad? Oh, well, I respect your opinion that you're for killing 6 million Jews. Oh, you don't like the Holocaust? Well, you don't have to do it yourself. You don't have to gas them. And you'd be horrified, and you'd be rightly, of course you'd be horrified. But when it comes to small children, we're not. We treat them, and we use horrendous terminology like clump of cells and all this kind of stuff.
But this idea that you're putting out, the president telling the crowd and they're booing about a full-term baby and then they decide whether or not to execute it. What are you trying to do in this country? These things are hard enough without making people think crazy things. But you're going to stoke hate.
Anyway, from the network that pushed the Russia collusion hoax and then got really upset when Robert Mueller didn't do exactly what they wanted, which was bring up indictment. And then, their credibility has been really shot to death ever since then. But, people still tune in for some reason. Okay, I think we'll wrap it up there. Any questions, again, miguelofilms@gmail.com. Try and get involved. We don't do enough in the church today in general, and again, trying to have a balance. First and foremost, the Great Commission, spreading the gospel, and do it among your church. Don't go kind of lone wolf. No, if it's the only way to do it and you can't get anybody else in the church to do it, but we should labor together for the good people and for the glory of God. It's been Paul Flynn. May God bless you all.